Welcome to Election Connection on WFMP 106.5 FM with me, your host, Ruth Newman. You're about to listen in on a candidate forum held April the 24th at the Bonair Library and featuring Kentucky House District 41 candidates Rick Adams and Mary Lou Marcion, both Democrats. Here now is Honey Goldman, Chair of the Metro Council District 8 Advisory Board.
Welcome. I'm going to turn this over to Dee. We'll both introduce the moderators.
That is Dee Pregliasco, President of the Louisville League of Women Voters.
Welcome to our forum. We are really adamant about educating voters, and that's what these forums are all about. We're nonpartisan. We don't support parties. We don't support candidates. But we support voters, and we want to give you as much information as possible. And that's why we do this, and we're glad to cooperate with District 8. And let me remind you, the League believes that all issues are voting issues. Who we put into office, they make decisions that affect our lives every day. And particularly, I would say, because of the House and the Senate, we tend to think that Frankfurt is just up there. Guess what? What happens in Frankfurt does not stay in Frankfurt. And we really saw that this session. We know, passed a lot of bills that affected just Louisville. So all issues are voting issues, and thank you.
I'm going to introduce Joe Saka, is Kentucky Public Radio's first enterprise state house reporter. He has covered Kentucky government and politics for nearly two decades. He became the state government reporter for the Courier Journal in 2019.
Our other moderator is Mark Vanderhaar, and I'm sure you all have seen him on TV. He is at WLKY after covering the courts and breaking news for the Courier Journal.
Next are introductory remarks made by the two candidates, Rick Adams and Mary Lou Marcion. First up is Rick Adams.
Okay, thank you to the moderators, thank you to the League and the District 8 Advisory Council, to Mary Lou and everyone here today. My name is Rick Adams. My wife and Emma and I live in Deer Park, right in the heart of District 41. I'm a lawyer, Kaplan Johnson of Boddy and Byrd, where I practice constitutional and commercial litigation, and I've been the Deputy General Counsel for the Kentucky Democratic Party during Governor Beshear's first term of re-election. My wife works at a local company, Southern Glazers Wine and Spirits, and we met just down the road in Danville, Kentucky at Students at Center College. I spent my career in the courtroom fighting back against the Republican majority's attacks on our civil rights. I'm on the legal team that is currently in federal court defending Louisville's Fairness Ordinance. We're suing to stop SB 150's cruel invasion of privacy on our LGBTQ youth in schools. We sue to stop partisan gerrymandering in Kentucky. And every day I'm in a courtroom across somewhere in the Commonwealth suing a government agency run by Democrats and Republicans to enforce the Open Records Act and hold our government accountable. If elected, I'm going to take the fight from the courtroom to the floor of the General Assembly and be ready on day one. And I'll be there every day to fight for our issues and our values. Over the course of this campaign, we've met a lot of Louisvillians. We've had great conversations and answered a lot of questions about the policies coming out of Frankfurt. We're going to have a lot of opportunities to talk about those policies tonight. But right now, I want to talk about the question that I get the most at the doors, which is, why do you want to go to Frankfurt? Republicans control everything. And my answer is, that's exactly why I want to go. Emma and I love living in Deer Park. It's people, unique small businesses, it's neighborhoods, it's close-knit community. We love the city of Louisville, we love the Commonwealth. We're gonna live here and grow our family here. This is our home, and we wanna fight for it. We wanna live in Kentucky where all are welcome, no matter what you look like or who you love. We wanna live in Kentucky where everyone has the opportunity to work hard, earn a fair wage, and earn a good life for their families. We want a Kentucky where every kid has the opportunity to grow and learn in world-class public schools. We know this is possible, and believe it or not, we're making progress on these issues, but not nearly enough. And that's because the Republican supermajority doesn't share our values. Since they took the majority in 2016, they've attacked women's right to choose, they've stigmatized the LGBTQ community, and they've made it harder for working Kentuckians to get ahead and build a secure financial future. That's why it's so important that the winner of this race is laser focused on the future. We won't get the change that we need with old ideas from glory days past. If elected, I'll be focused on growing the Democratic Party, presenting new solutions for new challenges, bringing new voters into the fold, and ultimately electing more Democrats to the General Assembly in Frankfurt. Because until we do, we're going to keep losing on the issues that matter to us most, and Kentucky will be the one that will suffer for it. So if elected, I'm going to show up and work hard every day for District 41, because you would have elected me to work for you and make your voice heard on the floor of the General Assembly. I look forward to you talking tonight exactly how we're going to do that. And thank you again for having me, and thank you for being here.
Next is Mary Lou Marcian.
Thank you so much, League and District 8, for organizing this, and thank everyone for attending. And this is a serious race, and it's a serious time in Kentucky and in the nation. And I have the experience that it takes to get up in Frankfort. I did that for 28 years. I was redistricted out and withdrew, but I saw this as an opportunity that it's time to speak back up. And I did that every day against all of the horrid bills that came out when the Republicans took over. I spoke up for teachers. I spoke up for women's reproductive health. I spoke up for LGBTQ issues. And that's the reason why I've been endorsed by every one of those groups, because they know that I'm strong. I'll speak out. I think you called me the quote machine. I will speak out for issues that really affect us on a daily basis. I've had the experience, and it takes experience to learn how to navigate the bills, the legislation, the committees. You have to learn how to work a piece of legislation, and quite frankly, the Republicans don't let Democrats have one, a bill, but you can learn to befriend a Republican and get your bill passed with their name on it. You have to have no ego, which I do not have. I want to do what's best for the people of Kentucky. But the Republicans have attacked Louisville and attacked poor people, the unhoused, LGBTQ, we know that. Now they've gone after trans kids, transgender kids. It's just appalling. And somebody has to get there. And I have been there and gotten up and spoken out. I've been gaveled down many times. I take that as a badge of honor, because they don't want to hear an opposing viewpoint, and they know that I'm right about many of the issues as they decimate the environmental cabinet. So with my experience, my years being there, my friendships with not just my colleagues but folks across the aisle, they trust me. I have honesty. I have an integrity. And in Frankfort, all you have is your word, and your word is your bond. And I have been able to work across the aisle. I started the Green School Caucus with a fellow Republican, or a colleague Republican, and we had 100% attendance and participation in the Green School Caucus to make our school buildings clean, green, higher learning opportunities.
Okay, this is the first question. This will start with Mary Lou. Very challenging, complicated question. Why are you the best candidate for this Kentucky State House district? And feel free, if you so desire, to contrast yourself with your Democratic opponent.
Thank you. When I was redistricted and I withdrew, I was very sad. I enjoyed Frankfort. I enjoyed the give and take. I enjoyed doing my best for the people of the community, for kids, for women losing their reproductive freedom, for our LGBTQ community, for our public school system, for the environment. I had many environmental bills. But it takes experience, it takes knowledge to be able to, like I said, navigate the different committees, to navigate the amendments that are coming at you, to be able to go to the Senate Republican leadership and talk to them about what a good bill you may have, and what can you do to get it passed, how to stop bad bills. You can look at that. Those many, many bad bills that were coming out of Frankfort this year. And how can we work together with our caucus and some of the Republican caucus that also oppose some of them and try to stop the bad bills. But you have to be able to get up to speak out clearly and succinctly about issues that we care so much about and our democratic values. And I was able to do that in all of the years that I was there. And of course, when you're first there, it's kind of difficult because it is a little bit intimidating. I think Frankfort, they build those hallways and all that marble to intimidate you a little bit. And as you get a little bit of experience, you realize that there's not much they can do to you for speaking out, holding truth to power, and some folks, when they're brand new, are afraid, oh, I'll get kicked off a committee or something might get taken out of the budget that I want in there. And that can happen, but you have to not have fear that you're going to have retaliation from the other side. You have to be able to speak out, speak up, bring constituents in, work with all the groups that you're trying to help, visually impaired preschool or the school of the deaf, the ovarian cancer project, all of the universities, the public universities that are coming to ask for some help, the public school system, our public school teachers. We have got to have strong public schools. We have to raise our teacher salaries. We have to lower the class sizes. I've been advocating that for 28 years, and I'll keep it up. Thank you.
Yeah, so we've heard a lot about experience so far just today. I have a lot of courtroom experience arguing against unconstitutional bills that have come out of Frankfurt. I want to take that experience arguing against these bills on the back end in the courtroom. We've been successful getting some of these struck down, and make those arguments on the front end, on the floor of the General Assembly, and try to stop some of these bad bills, or make some bad bills less bad, make good bills better, which is what you can do in the supermajority sometimes, to represent District 41 and advocate on behalf of our issues. So I've been to Frankfurt before. I've testified in front of Whitney Westerfield Judiciary Committee on government transparency and open records issues. I understand the challenges that the supermajority faces as the counsel to the party. I counsel these people regularly, and I'm going to be ready to represent the district on day one. I've been telling voters out in the district that there's three things that whoever wins this election absolutely has to do. The first is fight for our district's values loudly and proudly. So that means even if we're going to lose votes on LGBTQ issues, on women's reproductive rights issues, we have to have a representative that goes to Frankfurt and speaks up and speaks out about these issues to make our voices heard and to make Kentuckians not in a district like District 41 that might be represented by somebody on the other side of these issues, that there are people out there fighting for them and the issues that they care about, and those people are Democrats. And I think the second thing that the representative from this district absolutely has to do is work every single day to grow the Democratic Party and get more Democrats in Frankfurt to vote on these bills. So how do we do that? We have a lot of evidence that shows the fastest, best way to elect Democrats in the state is to turn out young voters. When Matt Bevin won the governorship in 2015, young voters turned out 11%. When Governor Beshear and Lieutenant Governor Coleman flipped the mansion just 4 years later, that number more than doubled. And in their reelection, it jumped another 10%. We have a lot of evidence that when young voters turn up, good things happen. And young voters want to see people like them at the table when these conversations are happening, representing our unique perspective. And I think that's vital to growing the party. And the third thing that the representative from this district absolutely has to do is be ready on day one to build coalitions with Democrats, but also across the aisle. There's 20 Democrats in Frankfurt right now in the House, out of 100 seats. If we want to do anything, that requires Republican votes. So we're going to have the opportunity to do that in November on the ballot. We have this school voucher bill that passed through the General Assembly with a lot of Republicans voting against it. Because a lot of Republicans know, like we do in District 41, that we shouldn't send public taxpayer dollars to exclusive private schools. There's going to be a lot of Democrats and Republicans across the state making that argument. I'm certainly making that argument at the doors in the district as an example of what I would do in Frankfurt.
Well, I'm sure the candidates both have a lot of great ideas, but you can't do everything when you get to Frankfurt. So we'd like to hear what would be your top two or three priorities and how would you accomplish those? Rick, I'll leave you first on this.
Sure. I think number one is absolutely public education. I'm a proud graduate of public schools. I applaud Governor Beshear for proposing that 11% raise for teachers. We absolutely need to pay our teachers more. We need to support them. We need to fund transportation to our schools. JCPS is in a bind right now, in part because Frankfurt is not doing their job in fully funding transportation for our students. The most basic thing about getting an education is being in the classroom, showing up, and we need to get our kids to school on time. Also, public education is not just about teacher pay. Right now, they are trying to fundamentally change how public schools work in Kentucky. They want to amend our constitution, which uniquely in the nation protects funding for public schools. We weren't the only constitutions in the country that specifically says you can only fund common schools is the language in the constitution. On the ballot, they've passed it through Frankfurt to put that on the ballot, and we're gonna have to fight against that. I'm confident that we will win. This is another example of Republicans overplaying their hand on an issue and not understanding where Kentuckians are. I will fight to support public schools, absolutely, if elected to this district. Second issue I want to talk about today is it's a civil rights generally. When the Republicans took over in 2016, one of the first things that they did was attack any marginalized minority group in the state, whether that be women, attacking reproductive rights. We right now have one of the most restrictive abortion laws in the country. I would be a voice for change of that situation. They've been attacking the LGBTQ community, particularly the LGBT youth, since 2016. Like I said, I'm in court right now defending the rules fairness ordinance, and I'm in court in Fayette County right now suing to stop SB 150. I would continue to defend our civil rights from the Republican supermajority, stand up and make the argument on the General Assembly, understanding that we might not have the votes to stop these bad bills immediately, but knowing that we're going to come in on the back end and sue them when they overstep their bounds and violate the Constitution. And the last thing that my third issue is government transparency. So that's an issue that I know very well. I'm in courtrooms all over the Commonwealth regularly defending the Open Records Act, applying the Open Records Act, and making sure that our government remains transparent and accountable. It's a really important issue for me. I think government transparency is not, it's not the sexiest issue, doesn't get talked about all the time, but it's an important issue because it's an issue that all other issues hinge on. If we don't know what our government is doing, we can't hold them accountable, we can't change policies. There's been attacks on the Open Records Act several legislative sessions in a row. We successfully lobbied to defeat those, and I'll hopefully be able to continue to do that as a legislator.
When I get back to Frankfort, I will continue my work to preserve and protect women's health care. A few years back, a group of us women, Representative Wilner led the charge to fashion the maternal and child health care legislation that encompassed pregnancy, make sure that minority women were getting care, that people had access to prenatal care, to prenatal vitamins, to visits, to home visits after birth. Insurance would cover you as soon as you found out you were pregnant, but the whole realm of women's health, not just reproductive rights. That bill finally passed. I'm so glad to see this session, and it did not have the poison pills that were advocated by the anti-choice folks. But I will continue to advocate for reproductive rights, because what you do in your doctor's office and in the hospital is really none of my business, and it's your business. It's privacy. It's privacy rights, as well as LGBTQ issues. I've been there since I was elected, actually before 1994. I supported gay and lesbian issues. And in Louisville, the Fairness Ordinance, we finally got that passed. Of course, public schools are important, and we've got to not only give them raises, but better school buildings, access to books, more money. Teachers are buying their supplies out of their own money. That's got to stop. We have to have a commitment, because what's the most important asset we have in Kentucky? It's our kids that are going to hopefully be growing up having great jobs and paying into Social Security and paying into our tax system to keep our schools going. So public schools, and again, that's the reason that the teachers, the fairness community, the working men and women, the unions have all endorsed me, some unanimously, as well as the trial attorneys, the psychologists. They have seen my work. They have know what I can do, and I'm a proven advocate for issues that they care about. And yes, that bill that they passed that where they gerrymandered was atrocious, but unfortunately, Rick, that went to the Supreme Court, and I think we lost that 7-0, and we had to live with what we had. But thank you.
Okay, thank you. Our next question. Republicans currently have a dominant supermajority in the Kentucky General Assembly. Probably not going to change next year. It might not change for a while. So knowing that, what is your strategy to pass through your legislative priorities of the law or prevent bills from passing that you think are harmful?
Well, like I said before, I have learned how to navigate the system. I had a piece of legislation a few years back when the Republicans had taken control that St. Francis of Assisi eighth graders brought to me. They have a great social justice class, and they wanted a statewide Holocaust education curriculum that could be taught in public schools and private schools, and their eighth grade worked on it. They came to Frankfurt. We got it passed out of the House. We couldn't get it in the Senate. Couldn't get it out of the Senate. Well, they wanted to come back the next year, which we did. But I said, this time, we're going to get some Republicans involved, and they're going to sponsor the bill. I talked to two of my Republican friends. They met with the eighth graders. They said, oh, this is a great bill. Can we have it? I said, absolutely, you can have it. You can have it. You can carry it. I will not show my face in the committee room. I will not put my name on the bill because, quite frankly, Republicans don't let me have many bills. So they introduced it. They went to the committee. They had two survivors from the Holocaust come and testify. The eighth graders testified. And they were so thrilled it came out of committee unanimously. It passed the House floor unanimously. I didn't get up and talk on it because I didn't want to have any fingerprints on it. It went to the Senate where we found Senator Max Wise, who's a Republican. He said, I want to do that bill. He didn't tell me. He told the two Republicans. I said, oh, great. You know, they said, we got Max Wise to do it, which was, he was a chair of a committee. So when you're a chair of a committee and a bill comes there and you're carrying it, it's going to pass. So he got the bill. The kids went to the committee. They testified with the Holocaust survivors. It passed. They all cried and wept with the Holocaust survivors. The governor went. They went there to get the governor to sign it. I didn't go. I stayed as far away as possible. So that's how you work in Frankfurt, is you find someone who you can work with. You can say, take this bill, run with it. It's a great bill. It's, you know, I'll stay away from it, and you take all the credit. Because really, credit doesn't matter as long as you're doing something good for the city or for the state and for the kids that brought that. And hopefully we'll see them running one day. They actually came up and testified at Whitney Westerfield's. I arranged that because Whitney Westerfield, a Republican, judiciary chair, and our great friends, and I arranged for the kids to come up and testify against that horrible unhoused bill, House Bill 5. So.
Thank you. I want to start by addressing the gerrymandering case. So that is true. We sued to stop partisan gerrymandering maps in Kentucky and did go to the Supreme Court. We actually got a really important win in that case. So we have a clause in our Constitution that says Kentucky elections must be free and equal. There's several other states have that language, and there's Supreme Court who said that that doesn't mean that courts have any role in policing gerrymandering. The legislature can do what they want. Kentucky Supreme Court didn't do that. We got, for the first time in their history, for them to say that our free and equal election clause prohibits partisan gerrymandering. They said that the Republicans' map wasn't extreme enough gerrymandering to warrant being struck down. So we didn't win everything we wanted there. We didn't get this map thrown out. But we did get a very important win that says in Kentucky, a certain level of extreme partisan gerrymandering is not allowed. And so when they come back in the next legislative cycle in 2030, it's going to be an important backstop that's going to make it harder for them to make their majority even bigger if they still have it at that time. And it's going to make supermajorities less likely in the future. And I'd just like to comment, you know, that's an important win that I'm proud of, and the attorneys I worked with are proud of. Mary Lou mentioned her old seat. I think that's indicative of a mindset that's too common in politics. These are not our seats. Whoever wins this, it's not their seat. This is your seat, and you elect us to sit in it for a while and represent you in Frankfurt. So that's the mindset that I'm going to take to the General Assembly. And, you know, we find issues to find common cause with Republicans. So I think that the important thing that we need to do is find the issues that we can agree with Republicans on without sacrificing our principles. So what are some of those issues? School vouchers is one of them. Several Republicans voted against the school voucher bill, most of them in rural districts, because they understand that private schools don't exist in their area, and they're going to get zero benefit from a bill that sends public taxpayer dollars to private schools. We need to work with these Republicans and not demonize them, and work to defeat this ballot measure that's going to be on the ballot in November. Another issue is housing. I've been talking about affordable housing. It's very important to people my age. Housing rent is extremely expensive. It's hard to save to buy your first down payment on your first home when rent takes half your paycheck. That's a supply and demand issue. That's something Republicans understand. We need to pass policies in Frankfurt that make it easier to build new housing, get the housing supply up, make housing more affordable, and build housing directly targeted to affordable housing markets to ease the homelessness issue. And the last thing I'll say is we need to send representatives, especially while we're in the supermajority, we need to send representatives that are going to go support Governor Beshear, Lieutenant Governor Coleman,
on issues that we care about, not people that are going to throw bombs and introduce stunt legislation that makes it harder for Democrats, that might make us feel good for a few minutes, but ultimately it's going to make it harder to accomplish the things that we want to get done.
All right. Well, this November there's going to be two constitutional amendments on the ballot. One would prevent non-citizens from voting. A second one would allow public tax dollars to go toward private schools. Now, a lot of the folks in the audience could probably guess where you each stand on these issues, but for the record, say where you stand, and then more importantly, tell the audience what you're going to do to actively either support or oppose these two amendments. And I believe, Rick, you're first on this.
Sure, I'll take the First Amendment first, which is the non-citizens voting. I think that is a purely political amendment that the Republicans think will drive turnout to vote against the school voucher bill. I don't think, first of all, non-citizens cannot vote in Kentucky. That's the current state of the law. We don't need to amend our Constitution to say that twice. And it's a mean-spirited bill that, it frankly says a lot about their opinions of their own voters that they think that's going to drive them out to the polls to vote against the school voucher bill.
To vote for the school voucher bill, I would think, or am I missing something?
So I'm opposed to that amendment. The second one, the school voucher amendment, absolutely opposed to it. Our public schools have serious issues, and part of that is because Frankfort is not funding our public schools as they need to. Especially here in JCPS, we need to be fully funding transportation to our schools so we don't have to cut magnet programs and take opportunities away from our students. We need to raise teacher pay at least by the 11% that Governor Beshear proposed in his budget. Frankly, it could be more than that. Right now, our teachers are, in real dollar terms, are making less than they were 20 years ago because their raises have not kept up with the cost of inflation. We need to change that in Kentucky, and that means fully funding public education. It does not mean what the Republicans want to do is to amend our Constitution that will allow them to take our public dollars already from our deprived public schools and put them with exclusive private schools. There are a lot of voters in District 41 that elect to send their students to private schools. I've heard very few of them in support of this school voucher amendment. They understand that this, private schools are a choice that might be right for your family, but they don't deserve public taxpayer dollars. And I think your last part of the question was, what will I do to help defeat that ballot initiative? I know the Kentucky Democratic Party is going to be putting a full court press between now and November campaigning against this ballot initiative. I certainly plan to be a part of that, win or lose this election. I work as deputy general counsel for the state party. I'll certainly be involved if I'm fortunate enough to win and I will be a general election candidate. You better believe that I'll be talking about this issue every single campaign stop that I go to and let voters know that we have to show up at the polls to vote this down, because this is bad for District 41. It's bad for the whole state of Kentucky. It's certainly bad for our public schools.
Two really bad amendments. Of course, people can't vote that are not citizens. That's just, you know, kind of a scam amendment. Rick is right. It's to try to get folks out. Folks tend to vote no on amendments if they're really long. I haven't seen the language that these two are going to be. If they're really long and tedious and you have to turn the ballot over, most people vote no. That's the common thoughts. The voucher school choice is just really abhorrent, but if you can look across the country where we've had vouchers in school choice and have seen the graft, the con men and women that have started up these schools with no public oversight, no Department of Education oversight. They don't hire people that are certified. They don't take disabled kids. They don't take kids that may have learning disabilities so they can try to get their scores up. But they take the money, they use the money sometimes for private jets, for gambling wherever they go, for nice meals, for big houses. And in Indianapolis, two or three of the school choice private schools have even been closed and investigated and probably thrown in jail. I have to find out. But all across the country, Texas, it's happened. There's a Turkish group of fundamentalists that are looking for school vouchers for their Turkish school to indoctrinate them, actually, against Americans. So we have to be really, really careful looking at that amendment and get the word out that it's nothing but a scam, and it's nothing. All it is to
let rich people that start a school and get public money to, you know, $8,000 a kid, get kids that are probably white and smart, because it's not going to help kids that are poor. So we've got to vote against that. And I will be working with the JCTA and teachers across the state who have endorsed me to defeat that amendment. I'll be working very hard because it's a scam. And when Governor Bevin came to tout his school choice bill, I looked at him at the committee and I said, Governor, do you have any financial interest in charter schools? And he looked at me and he said, no. And I said, I could believe that if you'd show me your taxes. If he'd had a gun, he'd shot me. I have 15 seconds. I'd like to address the stunt legislation shortly. Thank you.
And you are listening to a candidate forum for Kentucky House District 41, hosted by the Louisville League of Women Voters, and it took place on April the 24th at the Bonaire Library, featuring Mary Lou Marzian and Rick Adams, both Democrats. The moderators are Joe Sonka, reporter for Kentucky Public Radio, and Mark Vanderhoff, reporter for WLKY-TV News. And this is Ruth Newman, host of Election Connection, coming to you on your all-volunteer community radio station, WFMP 106.5 FM, and live streaming at www.forwardradio.org. Here again is the moderator with the next question.
All right, I'm going to switch this up a bit with a topic I have heard discussed so far, and that is nuclear power. There was a bill and a joint resolution passed in the recent session that lays the groundwork for rebooting nuclear energy in Kentucky. So when it comes to the reliability of energy, the cost of energy, the environment, and climate change, is this a good idea for Kentucky to pursue?
Short answer is no. Like a lot of corporations, nuclear builders, developers, cut corners. They don't make sure there's safety standards. We live on, I think in Paducah, we have the San Andreas Fault out there. You know, when there's an earthquake and that goes belly up, that's going to be all over Kentucky, nuclear waste. And I think what we need to look at, and which I have done with my 28 years of experience, is work with the National Caucus of Environmental Legislators every year on ways that we can have green energy, sustainable energy, renewable portfolios to encourage businesses, states, electric companies, gas companies to invest in biofuel, solar panels, windmills, that can provide low-cost, clean jobs that aren't going to get shipped overseas to China, because we can build the windmills here, we're building the solar panels here, and we've got to stop looking at coal like that's going to come back, because it's not coming back. And West Virginia has started looking at solar panels, and they cannot get enough workers to install and make the solar panels. It will also help our community and technical colleges, programs that can train folks to install the windmill blades and the windmills and the solar panels. So it's really a win-win for clean energy, for good jobs, for sustainable energy, and a solar panel isn't gonna melt down and kill you. So I would say no.
Yes, thank you for this question. I think first and foremost, we absolutely have to protect our environment here in Kentucky, that means preserving our natural beauty and our resources here in Louisville, Floyd's Fort, Bernheim Forest. But that also means that we need to build a new green energy production capacity, energy efficient green energy grids, housing to reduce the use of energy for each and reduce each person's carbon footprint. This will not only benefit the environment, it will create jobs and reduce the cost of energy. We need to have a just transition to green energy, which means that fossil fuel workers who are used to making good money and maybe put out of a job by transitioning away from coal and natural gas and other fossil fuels industries are retrained and have priority hiring in new green energy fields. That means environmental justice, protection, environmental protection for lower income people, people of color, people that too often bear the brunt of our environmental issues. In Louisville, for example, we just, the Rodea chemical plant site that's now gonna be this brand new, beautiful housing development with tons of solar panels that are powering the whole thing. That's going to be powered by federal tax credits that were implemented by the Biden administration, the Democratic administration, that understands that we have to build our way to a green energy future. We can't regulate and stop growth and stop production. It's going to require innovation and developing new sources of energy, new industries, and we're doing it right here in Kentucky. Me and Emma put solar panels on our house last year. We have this green. We have the biggest power plant on planet Earth, just in I-65. You mentioned nuclear power. I think nuclear power is something that we need to look at to reduce our carbon footprint. It needs to be studied closely, and I'm confident that in the year 2024, we can build safe nuclear power reactors in Kentucky. And we have experience in Western Kentucky in the Paducah area doing that. And I think that's something that we need to explore in Kentucky to reduce our reliance on coal, what we know is the dirtiest energy source possible. And I would just add, as we're talking about energy, the Republicans introduced a new bureaucracy, the small government party, this year that is packed with coal industry insiders that are going to make it harder for us to shut down coal power plants in Kentucky, which is ultimately going to affect our power supply. We need to stop cropping up coal in this state and understand that the market is making coal obsolete, and we need to be ready with new green energy sources to replace it.
Well, Kentucky has one of the highest incarceration rates, some say in the world, certainly in the country. So what would you do to lower the state's incarceration rate while at the same time maintaining public safety? And bonus points, if your proposals are something that could gain traction in a legislature controlled by a Republican supermajority.
Sure, thank you for that question. So we've knocked almost 5,000 doors in the district, and I would say after public education, public safety is the issue that gets brought up the most often. Especially gun violence in Louisville is up. The addiction and associated crimes with it, with the fentanyl crisis in America right now, certainly affecting Louisville. Em and I were walking in Tyler Park just 2 weeks ago, and in the middle of Tyler Park, there was a news needle right there on the ground. That's a danger to our community, to our families in the area, and we have to have smart policies and legislation out of Frankfort to reduce crime. The problem is House Bill 5 is not the answer. The General Assembly needs to address these issues. Republicans have just ruined it by injecting extreme partisan politics into a bipartisan issue that we should all take very seriously. It wasn't that long ago that we had a bipartisan consensus that the mass incarceration policies of the 90s and 2000s were a massive failure. And we shouldn't be surprised that the Republican majority abandoned that consensus the second it became politically opportunistic for them to do so. I was proud to see Governor Beshear veto that legislation. It's unfortunate that it was overridden. House Bill 5 is not going to make us safer. It's just going to make us poorer. We're going to have a lot more people in jails and prisons, and we have the House Bill 5 did not include any additional funding for that. We have no idea how we're going to house these people that are now going to be mass incarcerated, increasing that incarceration rate in Kentucky. There's a case right now in front of the United States Supreme Court, Grants Pass versus Johnson. I was fortunate enough to be asked to be part of a team writing an amicus brief in that case. We wrote a brief on behalf of 150 local elected officials across the country who understand that mass incarceration is not the answer to these issues, that we need to have housing first policies, not criminalize homelessness, which only makes it harder to seek treatment or harder to get a job, harder to find housing if you have a criminal record. The money that we're going to be losing on House Bill 5 should be redirected to A, housing, and B, rehabilitation and prevention programs, not just locking people up and putting more people in prison.
Well, we did have some great legislation several years ago that we decriminalized a lot of issues such as not locking people up for nonviolent crimes, drug crimes, marijuana, low-level drug crimes that really do not need to have somebody in prison, because prison costs about $22,000 a year to keep someone in prison.
Now, I wonder if Ms. Marzian is right about that. I went to corrections.ky.gov/research and statistics, and I added up all of the 2023 average costs per person of incarceration in each Kentucky Correctional Facility. Then I divided that by the number of correctional facilities in Kentucky and came up with over $44,000 per person.
Just think if we could give that to each student in our public school system rather than to keep somebody locked up. Drug courts are a great answer. I think getting folks to be able to enroll in drug courts, get tested, have some job training. If they have a felony, help them get that expunged, because, you know, have an addiction and then get a felony on your record and say you get clean and go to drug court, it's hard to get a job with the felony. And we tried to have some easy expungement mechanisms a few years ago, and I think under Bevin he was going to charge like $1,000 to get your felony expunged. Yeah, right, you can afford that. But less imprisonment for nonviolent crimes. Look at letting early release for good behavior. The problem in Kentucky is that building a prison in some of these poor counties is economic development. And a lot of the folks up there are just chomping at the bit, legislators, to get that prison built so those guards can get good jobs. They're not good jobs. They're terrible jobs. They pay about 10 bucks an hour. The corrections officers are overworked. A lot of times they quit very rapidly. They unfortunately perform sexual abuse on some of the women prisoners. So it's a huge issue. We have to look at it. But, you know, it's difficult in a General Assembly that's run by folks that say, let's just lock everybody up, you know, be tough on crime. You know, that's very popular. It's a bumper sticker. But it's a huge issue. And it's going to take someone with experience and common sense to sit down with the Whitney Westerfields of the world, a Republican who agrees with me on this, although he's not running again, unfortunately. But there are some folks with level heads that realize it's a huge waste of money to lock folks up at $22,000 a year. And then they get no job training. When they get out, they bounce right back again for another $22,000 a year. So there goes your tax dollars.
Okay, the next question involves government transparency. In the session that just ended of the Kentucky General Assembly, there was House Bill 509 that nearly passed into law. Under this bill, public agencies will be required to create email addresses, public email addresses, for those officials to conduct public business on. Critics of this bill said there would actually create a giant loophole for those public officials to use their private cell phones for text messaging apps in order to avoid public disclosure of that through an open request. One of the people that spoke in favor of that bill and supportive of it was Democratic Governor Andy Beshear. We don't know whether he would have signed it or vetoed it, but he defended the bill against criticism. So my question for you is on House Bill 509, which I assume is going to come up next year, do you agree with Beshear or do you oppose that?
Well, the governor and I have had a few disagreements along the way, but this is a terrible bill. And he should never be for that, because what are they afraid of? We are public servants. You elect us, like Rick said, this is not my seat, it's not his seat, it's the public seat. Your tax dollars pay us. I get infuriated at committee meetings when people come up to testify on a bill like that horrible at House Bill 5. The room is full and they gave them like 10 minutes for everybody. So it was like 30 seconds. They got, okay, you're done. People come up, this is your public place to voice your public opinions on a bill that's going to affect us in a huge way. And transparency is so important. And I think that's a terrible bill because, again, it looks like, you know, the public hates it when politicians try to hide stuff from them, and that's exactly what it looks like, and that's what it is, pretty much, because they'll all be using their secret cell phones to cut deals, whatever they do. I don't know what they do with them, but it's a terrible bill. I hope it doesn't come up, and I don't know what the governor was thinking when he said he was for it, unless he's got a secret cell phone somewhere. He could, I guess. They've tried over and over again to protect themselves from public scrutiny, and there used to be a time when Republicans would get up and rail and fight about if Democrats, and believe me, we had some Democratic leadership that used to go back in the back room and they'd cut their own deals with each other. And the Republicans, with good, you know, reason, would call them out, say, sunshine is good for us. And sunshine is good for us, and it is a public place, and we should all be appalled and write the governor and say, you better get off that bill.
Thank you. I respectfully disagree with Governor Beshear on House Bill 509. I think it's a bad bill that would make government less transparent and make it harder for Kentuckians to hold their government accountable. So Joe actually described the bill pretty well. There's two halves to the bill. The first half of the bill would give every government employee an email address, the Kentucky.gov email address. That part of the bill was spurred by a lawsuit brought by my law firm that I've been involved with against the Fish and Wildlife Commission, who did not have a government emails and were doing all their work on personal cell phones. So I think the first half of the bill is very good. Any government employee on a volunteer board, any position in government should get that email, and they should do all public work on that email so public records are easy to find, collect, and produce in response to an open records request. The second half of the bill is where the bad stuff happens. So currently, the Open Records Act defines public record by the content of the record, not where it's stored. So if it's discussing public business, I don't know, if it's on a private email server, private cell phone, a private email account, that is a public record that is subject to the Open Records Act. It's a vital tool for reporters that are trying to get information. And it's the reality of the 21st century. Not every piece of government work is done on a government device. If, you know, someone gets a text message at 8 o'clock at night and they're at their son's t-ball game, they might answer that text, and it might be about something in the office the next day. That's a public record, even though it's on his public on the phone. And this bill would change that. Anything not on that government email would not be subject to production under the Act, which is exactly right, is a big loophole, and guts the Open Records Act. Unfortunately, this is about the sixth legislative session in a row that the Republican majority has tried to drastically reduce government transparency and amend the Open Records Act. The Kentucky Press Association and others have successfully been able to beat those efforts back, just like we were able to with House Bill 509 this year. But I fully expect them to come back every session with some new way to gut the Open Records Act and allow them to do more work behind closed doors. Fortunately, they've been unsuccessful. It helps when the people lobbying against it control all the newspapers and TV stations in the state. That's great, get the message out. But I would be against House Bill 509. And I would like to add, I was encouraged, this is not open records per se, but about legislative transparency. The League of Women Voters published a report at the beginning of this legislative session that talked about all of the legislative maneuvering to keep bills secret until the last minute, and published suggested rules to stop that practice. Of course, the Republican majority didn't adopt it, but I was encouraged that 10 of their most conservative members stood up in the first week of the legislative session and advocated for it. I might not agree with these members on anything else, but I agree on this issue, so I would work with them on this and increase transparency in Kentucky.
Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, we're near the end of our debate. So for the last part of this debate, we'll give you each 3 minutes for a closing statement. This could be a time where you respond to statements that others have made as well. And we start with you, Rick.
Okay. Again, thank you to the moderators. Thank you, League of Women Voters, District Advisory Council. Thank you, Mary Lou, for being here. So tonight, I think you heard two competing visions for District 41. One was focused on the past and what the General Assembly was, and the other was focused on the future and what the General Assembly could be. We've knocked over 5,000 doors so far in this campaign, and overwhelmingly, people tell me that they're frustrated with Frankfort. They're frustrated with politics as usual, frustrated with their state government that's so out of touch for what their dreams and hopes for their Kentucky can be. It's time for change. It's time for representatives that roll up their sleeves and get to work. It's time for the General Assembly to stop partisan warfare. But it's also time for the Democratic Party to stop holding on to the status quo. We'll never win back seats that way, which means we'll never win on the issues that we care about the most. I got in this race because Emma and I refuse to accept that reality. We don't want to start a family in a state controlled by a mean, extreme Republican majority. Kentucky is our home, and we're going to stay here, and we're going to fight for it. If you elect me, I promise that I'm going to show up to work every single day to make your voices heard on the floor of the General Assembly. Mary Lou had a long, distinguished career in Frankfort, and I thank her for her service. But after we lost the majority, she stopped showing up as regularly. She missed most of the special session for tornado and flood relief, both the two legislative sessions. She missed the Matt Bevin's pension sewer bill vote. She missed almost a third of the legislative days three times since 2016. That's not the kind of experience that we need in Frankfort. This job is not just about the votes taken or not taken, although that's important. It's about serving the constituents who elect us to represent them and make their voices heard in government. If you elect me, I will be there every day proudly defending our values. That means defending women's right to choose, protecting LGBTQ rights, workers' rights, the right to collectively bargain. And I'm going to be laser focused on growing the Democratic Party, electing more Democrats to support Governor Beshear and Lieutenant Governor Coleman in Frankfort. And the best way to do that is to bring young, disaffected voters into the fold who often don't see representatives like them in Frankfort working on their behalf. We're not going to earn those votes focused on the past. We should be focused on the vision for a better future and a better Kentucky. And we should be looking for opportunities where all kids and people think that they can stay here in Kentucky and build a good life for their family and a secure financial future. So to achieve that goal, I'm going to work every day to build bipartisan coalitions. Big debates are happening right now in Frankfort, and too much is at stake for us to wait until we get the majority back. We can't waste safe Democratic seats, which District 41 is. And we need coalition builders who are willing to work with the majority where we can without sacrificing our principles. If you agree with me and are excited about the future of the Democratic Party and what the possibilities are before us, please join this campaign. You can come talk to me tonight. If you see me out in the community, please come introduce yourself. You can sign up online to volunteer. Thank you very much for having me tonight.
Thank you so much for having us. This has been very enlightening. Lots of fun. I always think campaigning is a ton of fun because you get to talk to so many people. But I have to take issue with that I miss so many days. You know as well as I do that if you miss a day on a Friday or a Monday, often there's nothing on the agenda, nothing, no orders of the day, maybe a resolution. And you can come in the next day and record your vote, which is what I did. I did not miss any special session on the tornado and flood. I don't remember missing any days. I remember getting up and voting on that bill and $240 million to go to Eastern and Western Kentucky for tornado and flood relief. But at my vote, I said we need to start looking at climate change because that's what causing a tornado in December and 1,000-year floods. And one of my Republican colleagues came over to me, ran over, and I thought he was going to say congratulations. He said, you need to get up and apologize to the Eastern Kentucky coal miners. I said, are you out of your mind? But and the sewer bill, yes, I was not there that night because that was not a day we were scheduled to be there. And what they do, transparency is so important, is call a bill, call the sewer bill, totally gut it, don't tell the teachers, don't tell anybody, nobody's there, throw in the horrible pension, pass it out of committee, pass it out of the Senate, take it to the House, all in one day, which is illegal. Not illegal anymore because I think the Republicans changed the rules. So there's no public input, there's no chance for an amendment, and I had been out on a weekend trip with my family after some brain surgery. I thought we were done. I saw that happening on a Friday night, and I went, oh my God, I got on a plane the next day, came back in and voted on Monday. It was unfortunate, but that bill was going to pass anyway, but it got litigated and thrown out, thank goodness, because it was illegal to do that all in one day. No amendments, nothing, no public testimony. But I do want to talk about my experience and how important it is. There's 20 Democrats. Most of them have 6 years or less experience. They don't know how to navigate the system. They don't know about amendments.
I'm going to break in here and just comment that this supports my contention, backed up by a League of Women Voters officer in the state of Maine, whom I interviewed on Clean Elections, that term limits is not the answer to the very real problem of corrupt politicians, for this very reason, that people who are new or haven't been there very long don't have the expertise to know how to navigate the system. I encourage you to check out my programs on Clean Elections that are archived on our website at www.forwardradio.org, clicking on the Programs tab and selecting Election Connection. It's the money spent, not the time spent in office, that corrupts. And Clean Elections offers a tried and true method for getting rid of the money, not getting rid of the people, many of whom are very good at what they do and listen to their constituents. And Clean Elections does not take a constitutional amendment. Sorry for the outburst. Let's get back to Mary Lou Marzian.
And yes, I have done some stunt bills. I did a Viagra bill just to make a point that while they can tell women, you can't have an abortion, you have to wait 24 hours, you have to have two visits, you have to have an ultrasound. Men can take a terrible drug called Viagra and get heart attack, but that's okay. So I passed a bill that you had to have your wife's, you can only use it in a marital relationship because they're all so pro-family, but you have to make a point. Sometimes you have to use humor to make a point with them. And I will continue to find ways to make points and hope we all get out and vote on May 21st. Thanks.
Yes, let us all get out and vote in the primary on May 21st and in the general presidential election that happens in November. Now, it's too late to register for the primary if you're not already registered to vote, but not too late to register for the very crucial November presidential election. By now, you should have received a notice in the mail from the Jefferson County Clerk's Office telling you where to vote on Election Day and dates and times for in-person, excused, and no-excuse early voting. You can also call the Jefferson County Clerk's Office at 502-574-6100. To find out if you are registered to vote and what House and Senate districts you're in, you can go to vote411.org. And that site will also link you up with the Kentucky State Board of Elections, where theoretically you can find out where to vote. For some inexplicable reason, the State Board of Elections has chosen to list polling locations not by the precinct, but in alphabetical order of the name of the building. So, after selecting your county, Jefferson County, you're met first with a list of Dropbox locations. After scrolling down through all of these, then you will see excused and no excuse absentee voting locations. Then you must scroll through all of those, and finally you'll come to Election Day polling locations. But your search isn't over then, far from it. At this point, you are forced to scroll through each polling station, which is listed alphabetically, and read next to each location what precinct or precincts that location is set up for. So, good luck with that. If you go to the Jefferson County Clerk, which is elections.jeffersoncountyclerk.org, and choose voting, you can select in-person voting, but you'll only find excused and no excuse early voting locations and times. There is no information at this reading for polling locations on Election Day. You can also search for a sample ballot by selecting forms and reports and entering your address. But as I just found out, it only at this point, which is the end of April, gives you president and U.S. representative, no one else. So let us hope that as we near Election Day, which is May 21st, that the information will get better. Keep listening to Election Connection, where I will be giving you updates on this and other important voting information. So I hope that you've gained better insight through this candidate forum that you just heard for Kentucky House District 41 that was put on by the Louisville League of Women Voters and featuring candidates Mary Lou Marzian and Rick Adams. This is Ruth Newman. Thank you for listening.